This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello and welcome to the second edition of the official EFL podcast, previewing and reviewing the best of the match action across the EFL and its competitions. First up on the show, we'll be looking back at last weekend, as more than 81,000 people packed out Wembley to witness the Carabao Cup final.
Sterling scores! And Manchester City win the first silverware of the season, the first leg of the quadruple that they are going for.
Yes, so Manchester City took home the first trophy of the season after a 4-3 win on penalties over Chelsea. And the man of the match on that day was City playmaker Bernardo Silva. Ryan Grant caught up with the winner of the Alan Hardacre Trophy.
Bernardo, congratulations on a fantastic win. How does it feel to win the Carabao Cup final again?
Well, we're very happy with the win, especially after a very tough game, very physical game. 90 minutes plus 30 plus penalties, lots of emotions. But yeah, it doesn't matter how we won it. What it matters is one more title for us, and we're very happy.
How difficult is it to stay concentrated for such a long time and keep the level high when it's such an intense game out there?
Well, it's not easy, especially when you're still playing four competitions, now three after this one finished. You always have to be focused, but when you play in a club like Man City that aims for all of them and that has a squad like ours, you have to be concentrated, you have to try and win all the games. And that's what we've been trying to do. From now on, we know that it's a crucial part of the season where we can win almost everything or lose everything. So, yeah, we're very focused on our job and trying to do the best.
And to win the trophy for a second year in a row, does that make it even more special?
Well, of course, back-to-back. Very happy with the second win in a row in this competition. Very happy, as I said, especially because it's a boost for the rest of the season. It's the first trophy that you can win. And this early in February to win a title, it's for the confidence, it's a big thing.
And you were also named Man of the Match. Do you think that was one of your best performances for City?
Well, to be honest, no. I think it was a difficult game, not a lot of spaces for both teams. It was a very tactical game, physical. And I'm just happy that I helped the team winning and that we won another title.
There were some fantastic celebrations at the end. Just how good is the team spirit here at City?
Well, since I arrived for a year and a half, the team spirit is fantastic. So the way they welcomed me when I arrived, the way last season we won the Premier League and the celebrations, and now this season, knowing that winning titles back-to-back, it's always difficult because our opponents now are stronger and they're more prepared than they were before. So yeah, the team spirit is fantastic and we want to keep going that way.
Well, now Bernardo Silva has the opportunity to give Manchester City the advantage again. And he does!
Just tell us quickly about your penalty. Were you nervous for stepping up for the penalty?
I think everyone is nervous when taking a penalty, when playing a final. It's part of football, it's a good thing. If you're not nervous, something is wrong. But I think you have to be positive, go there to score, and hopefully the ball gets in.
The official EFL podcast, the best reaction to all the match action.
And for more on that interview, head to EFL.com. Now let's move on to a team who booked their place at Wembley this week after an emphatic second-half performance at Gig Lane.
Whistle blows. Pompey have got their own wall. Evans strikes it into the net! Gareth Evans has given Portsmouth the lead!
Curtis coming in from the left-hand touchline, finding the feet of Gareth Evans. Evans chipping it to the far post. Thompson in behind, back across, goal and into the net! Ollie Hawkins has a second for Portsmouth!
Ball to low, back to goal, right edge of the penalty area. Now out of the area, trying to swivel and get the cross in. Can't do so. Curtis has the ball down in the box. Can he get a shot away? Curtis going for the dead ball line into the corner. What an effort from Ronan Curtis. Portsmouth are heading to Wembley.
The Chequer Trade Trophy.
So after a 3-0 win over Bury, Portsmouth are now on their way to Wembley for the first time in 9 years. Here's what manager Kenny Jackett had to say after the match.
Congratulations, you're through to Wembley. How does that feel?
Yeah, great, and really pleased with the players. Hopefully they can take the confidence of today because it's their first win for a while. Second clean sheet on the trot, and we want to be able to take that into the league form now.
How difficult a test was that? Because 3-0 on paper, but for long parts of that game, Bury were right in it, weren't they?
Yeah, first half they caused us problems. You know, I thought that first 10 or 15 we looked in control, but then, you know, they really had a good spell and gave us a lot of problems, and we had to defend well to get in 0-0 at half time. From the start of the second half, though, we did sort of make some adjustments, step up onto them a little bit earlier and higher, and you know, had a good period at the start of that second half. And you know, I'm pleased to say, got three excellent goals in that time, which put us in charge.
How important is this win, considering the league form so far this year, to get back to winning ways and to get to a cup final? Surely gives sort of the players and the fans confidence.
Yeah, it should. And you know, we've drawn five on the spin, and you know, the win tonight is our first win for a while, and hopefully we can build on this. That can give us confidence generally. Anyway, we can tuck this one away, look forward to it, because it's a bit, you know, it's a big occasion. We don't want to go to Wembley to make up the numbers, though. We want to go there to win. That's a big thing. But generally, as a club, we can tuck that one away, look forward to it, but now really concentrate on getting this type of form and these type of results, because it's a difficult tie, you know, in whichever competition. It's a hard tie to come to Bury at the moment with the way they're going, and a very good achievement to overcome it, battle away. And I've got to say, score some excellent goals.
What will it mean to lead this Portsmouth side, such a big football club, out at Wembley?
Yeah, it's been a few years since we've been there, so it's good. I'm looking forward to it. Really, my mind now is on Bradford on Saturday, but it's a you know, good achievement by the players. Hopefully, generally, we can improve and, you know, keep working away at getting that league form right and challenging right at the top.
And it's a competition, of course. You won 12 years ago now with Swansea. What are your memories of that occasion, and how will you use that going into this match?
Yeah, it's a great one. It's a, you know, it's a good competition to win if you can, and like you say, you know, won it before with Swansea when we were in League One. Great day, and goals by Trundle and Akinfenwa won us the game.
And for yourself, this competition this season, it's given you an opportunity, hasn't it, to utilise your squad. How important is that to give young players, for example, a good chance at getting that first team action?
Yeah, I think it's a big thing, and you know, they talk about the big clubs, the Arsenals and Spurs who have played, you know, their experience for the young players. But it's important for Portsmouth as well. You know, we've ended up putting out a blend, you know, two or three maybe of our better youngsters to give them a chance, and it might not affect this season, but for the club and for the future, it can have a big effect. Those type of games can really bring a young player on. So, you know, it's a good competition. Obviously, though, you know, the big carrot is at the end, because, you know, you have a chance to go to Wembley.
Good luck in the final.
Thank you very much.
We're now joined by a man who made more than 800 appearances for Portsmouth, former goalkeeper Alan Knight. Alan, what will it be like to have Portsmouth back at Wembley?
Well, I mean, I think it's a massive achievement for the club with everything that's gone on in the recent history, and just to see where we're getting to at the moment, I think it's a big plus for everyone at the club, a big boost, and a big bonus for the supporters as well, and nothing better than the opportunity to go and either play or watch your team at Wembley, I don't think, anyway.
9 years since you played there, the club's been through such a time since then, so how much a reward is this to the fans after quite a journey?
Well, as I said, I mean, the club's really, well, hit rock bottom, didn't it? And the fans come together with the trust, saved the club. We were, unfortunately, hurtling. It looked at one stage out of the league, without being too dramatic about it. But everyone pulled together, turned the club around. And this competition's given, as I say, given everyone the opportunity now to possibly celebrate that a little bit. I know we have new owners now, but they're still very much along the line of a community club, which we feel we are. So I think for everyone, it'll be just a fantastic day out.
And it was a great second half performance against Bury as well. How much were you pleased by that sort of performance in a big occasion like that?
Well, I think for us as a club, I mean, we'd had a fantastic first half of the season. We, unfortunately, turn of the year, our form had dipped, and we were up against a very informed side in Bury, a very, very good team that in the first half caused us quite a few problems. But thankfully, Kenny and the coaching staff managed to get across what they were looking for at half time, and I think there was a dramatic change in our performance and in the way we played, and I think that showed, and three fantastic goals to give us this opportunity to, as you say, to go to Wembley and the possibility of winning some silverware. I mean, as I say, I mean, it certainly was a game of two halves, I've got to say, yeah.
And with the current league form being so difficult so far this calendar year, how much do you believe that this performance could actually boost that league form, with knowing the fact that, you know, you've got that confidence boost of going to Wembley now?
Well, that's the other thing, as you say. I mean, we have withdrawn, I think, six games prior to this. So it was massively important for us to try and kick start our season, and hopefully this will give us the impetus to do that and kick on now, looking to at least get in the playoffs, if not that automatic spot. So, yeah, I think it could end up being a really massive part of our season.
And as we look at the competition this year, we look at how Portsmouth have benefited from it with the fact that they've been able to give some of those younger players a chance to actually play and get game time. How beneficial is that in the long run for those younger players?
Well, for the young lads, especially in the early rounds, they were getting, as you say, that game time and they were putting in decent performances. I mean, I thought some of the games that the boys played against, again, decent opposition, they stood up and put in, as I say, give the manager something to think about. Their performances were on a high level, and yeah, a great experience for the lads to be able to get that game time, because we don't have a development squad at this club at the moment, or a development team side. So there is a little bit of a gap between finishing off as a scholar to being a full pro, and so it helped bridge that gap a little bit.
And for the players now, knowing that they've got that opportunity to play at such a stage, to play at the National Stadium, Wembley, how much of a carrot is that for them to produce now?
Yeah, as you said, I mean, that also adds to kickstarting our season, hopefully, because players will want to play at Wembley. That's as a former professional, that's what you want to be playing at Wembley on the highest levels and on the biggest stages. And now players will have to be playing at their optimum and to want to be considered for that final on the 31st. And so, yeah, I think there's loads of positives for the club and for the side going forward and at this important stage of the season for us.
And for you personally as well, do you get a bit jealous of the fact that the players can still experience this sort of thing when, you know, if you look back at your career now, I mean, playing on that stage, playing at the National Stadium, it's such an achievement, isn't it?
It is. I unfortunately was never lucky enough to play at Wembley. We got very close in an FA Cup semi-final once and lost in a replay on penalties to Liverpool. But I'm not jealous, no. Envious, maybe. Yeah, of course. I'd love to have done that, but I think it's great for them. And obviously knowing the lads as well, I'm proud and as pleased as punch for them that they go out and have a fantastic day. And that, as I say, as a professional, well, I think at any level, to play at Wembley and get that opportunity in such a magnificent stadium. I'm lucky enough to do, as an independent, I do some of the judicial stuff at Wembley with the FA, and I get to go every now and again to Wembley just to work in the offices there, and it gives you the old hairs on the back of your neck stand up when you get the chance to go there. I find it a fantastic place. And yeah, for me, it's like church, I suppose. It's like going to a cathedral for people that are religious, but it's a fantastic place. And I'm envious, not jealous. I don't know if that's a better or a worse thing to say, but it's great. It's great for the club, and it'll be a great day out for everyone.
Yeah, I think envious is probably the right word I should have used there. And for you, though, personally as well, now as a fan, I mean, that must be exciting as well to see it from that perspective, to see your team at Wembley. I mean, that is, you can't get better than that, really, can you, as a fan?
No, you can't. I mean, look, you don't know how often it's going to happen. And I've got a little bit of a quandary. My grandchildren are 4, 4, 3, and 3, and maybe just a little bit too young to go. But as I say, if they were a tad older, I mean, I'd love to have been able to take the grandchildren and see our team play. And as you say, as a supporter now, there's no better thing. I mean, I remember the FA Cup finals and the semis. Bursting with pride to see your team out there. And it's, as I say, really looking forward to the opportunity of seeing them go out there again. So, yeah, as I say, it's going to be a great day.
And more than 10 years since that FA Cup win, how much would this trophy mean to the club now? Like I mentioned earlier, after so much turmoil over that period since, how much would it mean to the club to have another honour on the honours board?
Yeah, of course. I think every honour, that if as a professional footballer or a professional in e-sport, you look to win the honours when you're given the opportunity. And as I say, since things have turned around for the club, we were lucky enough to win the second division. And this would add to that collection that we're hoping to keep collecting as time goes by. And so, yeah, no, I think every trophy that you have a chance to go and win, you want to go and win. And yeah, that's the pinnacle of your career. At the end, for these lads that will play in it, they'll be able to look back and say, yeah, I won the Chequered Trade. Hopefully, sorry, I was getting in front of myself there, but that, I'm talking about in general for any professional that they'll want to win their league, they'll want to win the FA Cup, they'll want to win the League Cup, they'll want to win the Chequered Trade, they want to win whatever they're playing in, that they want to go and win that trophy. And on the 31st, that's going to be no different whatsoever.
Alan, thanks for your time and enjoy Wembley.
Cheers, Ben. Thank you very much.
EFL Fixtures in Focus.
Now it's time to take a look at what's set to be another exciting weekend across the EFL. Joining me now is Sky Sports presenter David Crutton. David, let's start with the Championship. Leeds West Brom on Friday night, a big game on Sky. How important is this match for both sides, especially looking at the midweek results that we've just seen?
I think you're absolutely right, Ben. I mean, what is the context of Leeds going down 1-0 against QPR? Not necessarily a coupon buster, but one that we didn't really see coming. And of course, over the course of the weekend, what we've seen from the likes of Sheffield United and what we've seen from Norwich, I'm sure we'll come on to them in a little bit, but they really are setting the pace and showing the kind of resilience that you think title contenders are made of. I think with both sides, with West Brom's performance and result against Sheffield United, it's imperative that they get back to what they and we know they can do. Basically, it's going to be an intriguing one. I mean, whether both sides approach it in the way they would do when they're at the best, i.e. Leeds looking to maintain possession, to dominate the opposition, West Brom looking to be able to attack a Leeds defence that they know that they've shown in the reverse fixture that they can get at, would be very intriguing. I mean, I can't think for a second that either would be too timid, but as we well know, the kind of situation that we're in, the really precious time of the season both teams are in, means that there might be a nice nervous edge to the game, which, I don't know, could lead to something pretty special from a match point of view.
And how important is this game to West Brom specifically as well, with the fact that now they're just within 4 points of Leeds and could go a point behind them? It'll get them right back into that hunt for the automatic promotion spots, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely so. I think the more points you can claw off the teams in and around you, especially in that position, the better you're going to be. I think if you look to the kind of little chink of daylight that Leeds and Norwich have managed to assert over third place, they've been gradually dragged back into the mix, haven't they? So I think from West Brom's point of view, it's an ideal situation, albeit they've got to go to somewhere which it can be tough, which we've seen at times this season can be a tough place for opposition to go to. But we've also seen on the very odd occasion when Leeds have not necessarily had stage fright, but they've been in a position where they didn't quite perform when the stadium was packed to the rafters. So I think there might be, as I said, a bit of trepidation from the fans' point. I've spoken to a lot of Leeds fans, and it's getting to the point of the season now where they're just kind of saying, we're not really enjoying the games anymore. We just want to get through them. We want the 3 points. We want to chalk those points up on the board. And the wonderful flowing football that was the norm for the best part of 2/3 of the season, they don't mind, I don't think, if that's replaced by ruthless, efficient point gathering. And an ideal opportunity on Friday. But West Brom, they've got to be so very wary of a team that we know can cause problems. Like I said, they looked a little bit out of sorts against Sheffield United, but I think what Darren's done defensively and what they've done going forward with Graham Jones has been a joy to behold at times, and Leeds have got to be extremely wary of that.
And for Leeds as well, I suppose it's an opportunity for them, isn't it, playing on Friday night with the other games taking place on Saturday and Monday with Norwich and Sheffield United respectively. So in a way, Bielsa could look at it as a chance for his side to actually make a mark on that title race.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, yeah, they win on Friday, they go back to first again, don't they, with the point gap being what it is at the moment in time. So yes, psychologically, that would be a huge boost for them. I think the momentum that you see with the way Norwich is playing means that they should be oozing confidence when it comes to the fixture that they've got coming up. But I think it's a very good point that you made, Ben, in the sense that they could look at the fixture, sorry, that are kicking off on Saturday afternoon and be relatively pleased if they get the 3 points and know that they've done what they can do. Because I think when you speak to managers in this position about games in hand, etc., or playing first, they want to be able to have the points on the board rather than games in hand. So it hasn't gone according to plan against QPR, but as we said, you can readily address that tomorrow on Friday against a team that will be very tough to beat. But the, like I said, that psychological advantage of winning and going to the top of the division has got to be what fires them up.
And looking at Norwich as well, on Saturday afternoon against Millwall, a tough test for them. It's a difficult place to go, difficult ground for them to go to, isn't it?
It is, but I think from their point of view, I mean, Millwall have been the perennial mixed bag this season, a great result against Derby, followed up by a disappointing one. So I think from that point of view, Norwich will be, as I said, confident. They're the kind of resilience that we've seen them show in games and to go to potentially tricky places and perform has been admirable, really. I mean, the Leeds game is one that really does stand out, where the top two go head-to-head and they go straight to the bear pit, but deal with it very well, manage the game very well, and the star player steps up. So, no doubt, it's a tough place to go, having had the unique pleasure, shall I say, of playing there. So, they'll know exactly what's coming, but when you've got someone like Timo Pukki in the most astronomical form that we've seen him in, they've got to be extremely confident.
And what a way to end the Championship weekend with that Sheffield derby at the end of it. I mean, this is a real, real test for Sheffield United, isn't it, in their hunt for the top two to get the automatic promotion.
It's huge. I mean, if you put it into the context of where the two teams are, yes, there's a disparity, but it's a very unique fixture in the sense that it all boils down to that one game. Wednesday would love to take points off Sheffield United, the Sheffield United strive to stay in the top two. But what you can't help but admire and like and really kind of embrace about the way that Chris Wilder has his side play, it's expansive, it's exciting. There's a real emphasis on moving the opposition around, of energy from the wider parts of the pitch with centre-back getting into the box onto the end of a cross from the opposite centre-back. And some of it is you've got to see to believe when they're at their absolute best. And I think the way that Chris has done it, you can't come away from the passion that the man feels for a team that he's supported since he was a kid. So I think being led in that particular way means that the bond between club fans and management and players and staff is very unique and one that they should embrace. But again, like I said, Wednesday have done great under Steve Bruce, remain unbeaten. That genial presence that he brings, you get the feeling that he's gearing up really for something a bit more substantial from the point of view of a promotion push next season. But he'll have no doubt, having seen the other side of the equation in looking after Sheffield United, how much it means to the fans and the players of Wednesday, and wanting away from chipping away at their second place, but to be able to another 3 points for Wednesday's tally to make them look a bit more respectable, get them into a position where everyone can be a bit more positive about the football club moving forward. But no doubt, it's huge. Be a huge game, especially more in the context of Sheffield United and Chris not necessarily talking the chances down, but I think there's a realisation there that they know what a special position that they're in.
Skybet League One.
Now looking down to Skybet League One with the match between Southend and Barnsley, which is live on Sky Sports. Barnsley, at the minute, they look a very difficult side to beat, 14 games unbeaten at the minute. How important is it for them to keep that run going?
Oh, I mean, it's a phenomenal run. I mean, it's only really the fact that they've got Luton in there that kind of takes the edge off that run, doesn't it, because of how well they've done. I think, and from the clean sheet point of view with Adam Davies, he's had a very, very good season between the sticks. It's important, like you say, to keep it going the way they've done so far. The brand of football that we've seen them play when they're at the best under Daniel Stendel has been phenomenal, really. A group of players that is pulled together to play in a certain way, which you get the feeling that Barnsley fans have really, really enjoyed when they've had a couple of seasons where they've been trying to get back into the division, then trying to stay in the division, and then ultimately dropping out of it. So it's imperative that they keep that going. I mean, they'll come up against a tricky side in Southend. We only saw a couple of weeks about how they were playing Portsmouth and they looked dead and buried at 3-0, but showed a tremendous amount of character, very much in the mirror image of what Chris Powell is, to get back and claim something from the game. But just enough jeopardy about Southend's position for them not to be quite into holiday mode yet. They'll still need to make sure that they're as safe as possible, as quick as possible, so that consolidation comes sooner rather than later.
And some big teams on the tail as well for Barnsley. I mean, you look at some of the teams that are below them in Portsmouth, Sunderland and Charlton. I mean, it is the competition behind them is very, very difficult for them, isn't it? So to keep that run going is vital.
It's vital, and I also think if you look at the teams that you're talking about, I mean, Portsmouth is the one that puts into sharp focus, led the league for the best part of 4 months and then hit a bit of a sticky patch and then a tough game between the two of them last weekend, which needed a penalty save, didn't it, from Adam Davies to keep them in it. So they'll have absolutely no kind of thought process about relaxing or thinking that what they've done so far is good enough, because they know full well and good how quickly it is to go from potential automatic promotion contenders into the playoffs. And what we know and love about the playoffs, from a spectator point of view, is everything that probably teams and fans probably hate about it, the fact that it can be a whole host of jeopardy, and also it'd be what goes from being a wonderful season where you've been in and around the automatic spot to drop out at the wrong time and then find yourself in the kind of post-season playoff picture when it's kind of very much performances on the day. So I think from the point of view of what they've done so far, as we looked at the teams before, it's about being able to maintain and hold the nerve at the most important time, which is the true test of any footballer and football team.
And looking at a team that have sort of come from nowhere to get into the playoffs in Doncaster, they faced Charlton. That's another big chance for them to claw some points back and get nearer to the top of the division. And Charlton obviously need a win there to maintain their position in the playoffs as well, don't they?
Yeah, and I think if you look at the job that the kind of relative managers are doing, I mean, I think Grant's done a terrific job there. I was speaking to James Coppinger, the pledge of his company, talking about the kind of sheer volume of games and managers that he's managed to go through at Doncaster Rovers, and what he's seen, the promotions, the different managers, the different ways of doing it. He spoke very highly about a manager that very much in the same ballpark when it comes to the age. I think he's even older than the assistant, which is just utterly bizarre for a player when he gets to that age. But I think as a club, they've always been very good. It sounds bizarre, but they've always been good at garnering promotions, haven't they, from what we've seen? I mean, yes, they've bounced up and down the divisions, but whoever's been in charge, there's something around that stadium that knows and appreciates and has the understanding of how to get a side promoted. And I think with the likes of James Coppinger and with Grant having the experience of getting things up from a playing point of view, there's plenty there to keep them in good stead. But Charlton, yep, extremely tough. A good season under Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson. So I think between now and the end of the season, as we're getting towards, obviously a couple of games as yet, but as we're getting towards single digits, now is the time that the big performances and the consistency has got to be there. And I always think it's the most ironic thing, whether you're a team looking to get promoted or whether you're a team looking to stay in a division, you're asked the most at the time of the season when perhaps you've really got to just grind through it. You know what I mean? You've got 30, 35 games under your belt, but we still want more from you for the most important part of the running.
Skybet League 2.
And now looking down to Skybet League 2, you look at the team that were in second place in the division, Bury, playing some fantastic football at the minute, coming up against second bottom in Macclesfield, Sol Campbell's team. I mean, it's a difficult game for both managers there, isn't it, in different sort of circumstances with Bury losing out in the semi-final of the Checkatrade midweek?
Yeah, I think from Ryan Lowe's point of view, I think what he's done with that side, having been able to shape it in the way that he wanted over the course of the summer off the back of relegation, I think some of the football they play is absolutely fantastic. I think his approach to the way he wants to win football games is wonderful, really. There's a real emphasis on individual talent working in a team structure, the likes of Danny Mayer and Jay O'Shea, players that really do bring attacking and creative flair to that side. So I think, yes, it'll be a tough game because of where Macclesfield are. I mean, from what we've seen in recent weeks, we thought Notts County were completely dead and buried, but decent results have dragged them back into contention. Obviously, that's hit a bit of the buffers in the last couple of weeks. But it's so very close, and what Dalton so far in a very tricky situation, I think has got to be admired. It's gone in there on a hard into nothing. People go, right, come on, Southampton shows exactly what you've got, when a lot of players of his or ex-players of his stature wouldn't have gone anywhere near it. And you've got to give him credit and respect for taking on the challenge. I just think with Berry, and maybe seeing what Portsmouth had at the disposal in that Czechia Prague semi-final, maybe it kind of would serve to just remind Ryan how big the job is that he's got on his hands, and also the potential of the teams that they could be back playing next season if things go according to plan. And not that he needed reality check, because he's extremely grounded and leads his team in that type of way, but makes him think that between now and the end of the season, head down to make sure they're staying the automatic places.
And it's also such a vital game for Macclesfield, looking at Port Vale and Notts County facing each other this weekend, with one of those teams guaranteed to pick up points.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, again, from Stoll's point of view, I mean, his experience of never mind this division, but the end of the league table that he's at would be fairly minimal. But I think from his point of view, he's a very confident man. He's a very confident manager. You hope that is imprinted onto the players. And if you look at the whole of the footballing pyramid, and we look at different divisions with different brackets of relegation places, it's a lonely old place, I presume, at the bottom there with just two teams in it. But the fact that Notts County, like I said, have clawed their way back to within a game or two of being able to get out of it, if you look at that as motivation for Neil Hadley and where Macclesfield are in front of them, then at one point it was Macclesfield to get out, who were out of the two of them, looking like the only ones who get out of it, but they're still both there. And from Macclesfield's point of view, it's making sure they look after their results, and we're not quite in fingers crossed territory or kind of Hail Mary territory for the other results, but it's getting awfully close to that.
An exciting weekend ahead, David. Thank you very much for joining us.
Anytime, Macclesfield.
And that's it from this week's show. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next time when we'll have all the reaction from the second Czechia Trade Trophy semi-final.
The official EFL podcast. The best reaction to all the match action. Available every week.